Hi, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS FM, Community Radio for Columbus. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Today's show features an interview between contributor Bridget Cruz and Pam Starkey, an occupational therapist. Sometimes we overlook the importance of people around us, never to realize the subtle role they play in our lives. Ari Haimov shares a brief history between him and his sister and what her absence has made him realize.
When you're growing up as a young child, you don't take much note of the people in your life. Growing up as a kid, there's not a single ripple in my memory in which my sister is not involved. The 2-year age difference, as well as our dead opposite viewpoints, made life a constant battle royale between my sister and I. Now, it's common to hear siblings say they argued and bickered with each other growing up, but Caroline and I, well, we were on a different level. We weren't bad kids, but we just loved to argue with one another, and we wasted no opportunity in doing so, no matter how pathetic the subject. If she or I felt that we were being mistreated in the slightest, we broke out against each other like banshees. But as time moved forward, so did we. And I often say that as we entered school and became much busier people, we simply had no time to argue. Honestly, it took me quite a long time to even appreciate having a sibling. It wasn't until last year, when my sister entered college and I felt slightly wary of her absence. When my sister left, well, I don't know. I just felt like someone had played a trick on me. I felt like there was something missing in my simple life. That's when the appreciation kicked in. Every once in a while, my sister will drive up to see me, and I'm always way too happy to see her than I think I should be. Whether it's her constant oddness, her classic sense of humor, or just knowing she's around, something about having my sibling at home just improves my state just enough that I greatly appreciate her presence. When she was around, I felt like I was secure. I felt like my family was all here. I felt like we were together. It felt like my youth again, and it always does. Oh, sister, when I come to die in your arms, please do not treat me.
It's widely known that drunk driving is the cause of many accidents and deaths, yet people continue to drive drunk year after year. Up next, Maggie Fitz reads a poem she wrote about this personally important topic.
More than 10,000 people die annually from drinking and driving. In high school, a lot of drinking takes place. Personally, I have chosen not to take part in this, and I am very involved in Team Delta Max, which is a drug and alcohol-free group at the high school. Because of this, I am very passionate about the issue of drinking and driving. Many high schoolers believe that they can get away with it. They may be able to get away with it sometimes, but every time someone drinks and drives, or gets in a car with a drunk driver, they are risking their lives. One night is all it takes to ruin your future, and it's not worth the risk. I decided to write this poem about underage drinking and driving because it is constantly a serious issue in high schools around the country. I base this poem off of the one decision it takes to ruin someone's life forever. In addition to this poem, I had the opportunity of producing a safe driving PSA for a video competition. I hope this poem reminds you to think before drinking and driving. Screeching brakes sound, car metal crunched, sirens of cops blared because of one decision that changed your life. Promises were broken, tears were shed, lies were told because of one decision. Feet fumbling for the brake, colors blurring together, senses delayed because of one decision. Hospital monitors sound, doctors surround you. Family waiting in the lobby because of one decision. Worrying family, hoping friends, praying community because of one decision. Memories of that night linger in your mind. Scars from the broken glass still show. Screaming of people still echo because of one decision. Future lost. Trust lost. Freedom lost. Because of one decision. One night. One action. One decision that changed your life. That decision was drinking and driving.
Imagine having an accident that leaves you unable to move and perform daily tasks. Things as little as brushing your teeth or pouring a bowl of cereal. Without the important people who work as physical and occupational therapists, millions of people would be left to struggle with these challenges on their own. Next up, Bridget Cruz talks to Pam Starkey about why and how she got into occupational therapy.
You gotta get out and hustle, do what you love. You gotta get out and hustle, do what you love.
This is Bridget Cruz, and today I sit down with an occupational therapist to talk about what is occupational therapy and why is she doing it.
My name's Pam Starkey. I'm a 44-year-old occupational therapist. I love animals, and I love helping people.
So what is an occupational therapist?
Occupational therapist is different from a physical therapist, whereas where physical therapy takes care of your entire lower body and your walking and your balance, everything else falls onto the occupational therapy side of your daily tasks of living, such as your bathing, dressing, toileting, cooking, upper body strength, any kind of wheelchair modifications, basically anything that doesn't fall under the realm of physical therapy for the lower body walking and balance falls under occupational therapy.
So what's like a typical day for you?
You have several patients a day, sometimes up to 12 patients a day that you need to see, perform their plan of care or their exercises with. We practice with adaptive equipment to allow people to dress their lower body, their upper body, putting on their shoes. We recommend equipment to make the toilet higher, whether people need a tub in their a seat in their tub to allow them to shower safer, whether they need grab bars, a lot of family training. We help the family with the discharge planning. And basically, my job is to, when you come to my facility, I need to make you independent in all your daily care before you leave.
One day, one happy day, I'm gonna do it by myself. One day, one happy day, I won't need anybody else, 'cause I will do it by myself.
Why did this type of work interest you, and how did you get started?
I knew I wanted to have a job where I could be helping people. Started with a car accident when I was younger and saw some rehabilitation. A physical therapist saw how they help people, and I knew I wanted to go into this field, some sort of healthcare field where I could help people, and this was the best fit for me personally. I find that sometimes just exercises can be monotonous, where with as an occupational therapist, your whole day can be totally different from day to day and from person to person. You can do different treatments. Nothing monotonous about occupational therapy.
What are the most important personal satisfactions and dissatisfactions connected with your occupation?
On the best day for an OT is when your patient gets discharged home and they walk out the front door and get into their car and you know they can get back to their life. On the other end, it is an extended care facility where people come as they get older and as accidents happen. The worst part of my job is watching people that I've known for years slowly pass away.
How do you deal with that reality?
The good outweighs the bad.
You got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
What sorts of changes are occurring in your occupation?
Occupational therapy has moved from when I graduated, I had a bachelor's degree from OSU, and it now requires a master's degree, and if I'm not certain, I believe it's moving to a doctoral degree, as physical therapy already is. So that's one of the changings in the profession. We need to write more journals. We need to toot our own horn a little more. We need occupational therapy to get out there, it to be common. That's why occupational therapy has affiliations such as the AOTA, American Occupational Therapy Association. There's one for Ohio, the Ohio Occupational Therapy, and there's the national. And both of those groups spend a lot of time towards finding out what we can do to make our profession more well-known or better known, to get the word out there about what it is.
How does a person progress in this field? So they get out into the world, they're an OT, but they want more. They want like a leadership position, or they want to make more money. How can someone do that?
First, you have to become a good therapist. Hands-on. Hands-on all the time is the way to learn things. Become a strong therapist mentally, physically, and emotionally. Know your rules, your guidelines, your state laws, your state practice acts. Whatever facility you work at will have their own guidelines. Figure out the rules, become a strong therapist, and then you can move to whichever area you would want to go to, whether it be supervising therapist or a regional director or a director of the director of rehabilitation in whichever center you're in. You can publish journal articles. Publications get you noticed and recognized. I've been trying to publish one for a while on handicapped transportation and wheelchairs. Just about ready. Just need to get some more sources on it.
How would you describe the working atmosphere and the people who you work with?
Here? Mm-hmm. I love my job. I've been here 12 years. I work in an extended care facility, which is a rehabilitation center. There's three OTRs, which is the supervising OT, and then there's three CODAs, which is a certified occupational therapy assistant. The occupational therapists supervise the assistants, and where I happen to work, we're like a family. We've all worked here very long, and we're very family-oriented and very friendly, and we love each other.
What work-related values are strongest in occupational therapy?
People want to be able to take care of themselves. And if they can't, you're going to get depressed, bitter, not caring if you get out of bed every day. If you can't do for yourself, you can allow yourself to get down. And I think that's important for occupational therapy that we, I mean, if you can't take yourself to the bathroom, how much more humble does that make you? So we teach people how to get in there and to do their hygiene and their clothing management, the daily tasks, the tasks that are important to your everyday living. It's walking from the bed to the bathroom. It's putting a shirt on. It's dignity issues.
What are the major frustrations of your job?
I would love to work with people till they're absolutely, completely independent, no matter how long it takes, and sometimes we're restricted by payer source limitations.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round. It makes the world go round.
So you mentioned earlier that if someone wants to be an occupational therapist, they have to go to school, they have to get their master's degree. What course, when you were in school, was most helpful for you when you got out?
You're going to think this is silly, because this wasn't even a required course. It's medical terminology. I get to a chart, and if I don't know what something is, you break down the word, you go back to your Latin findings, and you can pretty much figure out what the word means, the diagnosis. Medical terminology was one of the most helpful, and you know, you wouldn't think it, but I've used it the whole 12 years. Every time I go to a chart to look up something, it's all there.
Do you have any advice for someone interested in occupational therapy?
Gosh, don't give up, because it's worth it. It's a great field. I love my job. I love helping people. The patients usually end up liking us because we help them. We become very close with our patients. Don't give up. It's really worth it.
Well, I really appreciate you sitting down with me today. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
you got a problem, don't care what it is. You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help. If you got a problem, don't care what it is. You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good.
You're listening to Youth Beat Radio. For Charlotte Thorson, fashion is more than just an expression of her thoughts and emotions. It's a passion she hopes to pursue in the future. Coming up, Charlotte talks about what fashion has meant for her over the years.
I sit, body stock still, arms moving recklessly, hold up in my room for hours. My guilty pleasure has been found, yet I am too scared to show anyone. I scribble away rows and rows of pencils lining my desk. Colors fill in the blankness of expression and figures form who I hope to one day become, once I can outgrow my size 1 shoes. What I didn't realize was that my future would not be filled with the people I drew, but the drawings themselves. I had still planned my future. My mom knocked gently on my bedroom door after I finished my 9th drawing that Saturday afternoon. "Charlotte, everything okay?" she asked timidly to her fragile daughter. "Yeah, just give me a minute," thinking my new talent would be an utter surprise. Quickly, I bound the pages together with hot pink construction paper and gold ribbons. I topped it off with stickers and named it Fashion Girls, in block letters, my first fashion portfolio. This was by no means the end to my fashion phase, but one of my few successful fashion books. By the time I had grown to 5'7", it became something that defined me rather than just a far-off dream. It was no longer an aspiration of who I wanted to become, but an expression of who I wanted to be that day. My cowboy boots made me feel like the farm girl from Ohio I never was. In truth, I grew up in a conservative suburb. My first scarf puts me in my New York character, more proper, better behaved. My blazer represents the hardworking side in me. My bangles, my laid-back self that is not quite ever-present. It is a chance to express how I'm feeling or to force me to step into a character I need to be. It became something that made me feel good about myself, something I wanted to share with others. Fashion had become a passion of mine because it makes me feel good about my personality and body. I want to share the euphoric feeling with others. I want to pursue a career in fashion because of this, but which direction I will take it, I'm not sure. Will I be the person who dresses myself and others to create an image, or the artist? I look forward to the art and business behind fashion in college to determine what aspect of fashion I want to be involved in. I want to try my long dormant drawing abilities to see if I can still develop the passion of becoming an artist.
Coming up next, Nathan Murray discusses how a small moment of intuition helped him gain perspective on life. Then, Elizabeth LaMotta sits down with an Upper Arlington student to discuss why he started and stopped smoking marijuana.
A couple of days ago, when I was driving, I was heading down a 35-mile-per-hour road, and I could see the green light turn yellow, then red, in front of me. I remembered that normally, I stay a little above the speed limit, approaching the light, and having to stop right before the light turns green again, therefore making me speed back up when it turns green. This time, I slowed down to 30 and set my cruise. As I approached the light, it turned green, and I never had to brake or stop, saving a bit of gas. Even though this was an amazing moment for my life that changed it forever, it got me thinking. If I thought more about my future and planned ahead, little changes could happen and end up making a greater outcome. Even though that gas save would only help me gain no more than a fourth of a mile in the end, it was a good example of thinking for the future and not rushing to the present. When I related this lesson to other things in my life, I thought about more driving incidents, school, and more. When taking a test or doing a project, it is good to plan ahead to make sure that you're doing everything right and that you're being organized so that you have time in the end. When looking into the future, you can find better ways to look through options and think before you act.
day of an Upper Arlington High School student varies depending upon who they are, who they hang out with, and what extracurricular activities they participate in. For some students, though, it consists of dealing with the burden of drugs in their daily routine. Fortunately, we have a student willing to talk about his past experiences with drugs. Hopefully, we can learn from his past mistakes and realize how negatively drugs can affect not only you, but also your friends and family. How did you start doing drugs, and how did it make you feel at the time?
Well, me and a friend wanted to know what it was like to be high, because we heard it was, like, really fun.
Did it matter to you about what people thought about you or thought about whom you were associating with?
No, because I never thought about it and just didn't really care then.
Why did you choose to stop participating in this, and was it difficult?
I chose to stop because it was affecting my schoolwork, and my parents were getting really suspicious of me. And also certain friends didn't want me to hang out with them because of what I was doing.
If you had to say one word to sum up how you feel about it now, what word would that be?
Relieved, because I don't have to worry about hiding things from my family or friends.
Unfortunately, the average age of marijuana use starts at 14 years old, and more than 60% of high school kids say that drugs are sold, used, or kept at their school. Currently, the rates are increasing in schools today, but a clean future is possible. If kids learn from each other's mistakes now, it can lower the rate of drug usage in schools in the future.
Who knew ginseng was so big in the poaching business? In fact, who knew ginseng could be poached? Ohio State student Harrison Sidner explains how harvesting ginseng can be illegal and why we should care, coming up.
One environmental issue I have not heard much about lately is poaching. When I think of poaching, I usually think of rare exotic animals like gorillas, tigers, rhinoceroses, and elephants, but poaching affects more than just the rare and exotic animals. First off, poaching is defined as the illegal harvesting of plants and animals. So this means poaching is not limited to endangered species or animals. So hunting a white-tailed deer out of season is in fact an act of poaching. One type of poaching that occurs here in Ohio is the poaching of a plant called ginseng. Ginseng is a native plant in Ohio. Its root is harvested and dried before being sold. Ginseng sells for up to $400 a pound of dried roots. Ginseng is often used for a myriad of reasons, from aphrodisiac to energy drink supplement. The harvesting season for ginseng is currently from September 1st until December 31st. This is designed to allow for the plants to grow and reproduce. Such a high value has led to poaching, often in parks like Cumberland Gap National Historical Park. The reason there are laws about when and how a plant or animal can be harvested is to prevent over-harvesting and to allow us to keep our natural resources. In the past, ginseng has been over-harvested, particularly in the Ozark Mountains. As a result of this, we as people need to be aware poaching is still around and still a problem we need to continue to address. The best way we as citizens of the world can stop poaching is to not buy products that come from poached plants and animals.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu. Email us at youthbeat@osu.edu and find us on Facebook. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening. Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. It is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.